Yo, 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 welcome to another episode of Salinas Underground Podcast, your look at Salinas news, events. Well, this is actually a news one, too. Usually, I the third one is whatever reference to the guest, but this is a news one that I've been wanting to do for a while. And, I mean, I'm not alone in the studio. I do have a co-host for this one, so anyway.
What up?
Yeah, Samantha from Late Through and Comadres is sitting here.
Hola a todos.
For this, again, right now I'm calling it Sup Independent because, again, that. Independent, there used to be a union-run newspaper in Salinas called the Salinas Independent, mm-hmm. and it was pro-worker.
When did it run?
I think it was in the 30s, okay. to be honest. So we're not going to get sued. All them are gone. but anyway, so what this is... My idea for these shows, I mean, we all know the podcast. The podcast has been going now 10 years, 300 plus episodes, hey. All this stuff, you
Insert
know.
And celebration music here.
This.
There you go. Bravo.
And so the show, and I still like the you know, both the history and the guest format that we do. It's super awesome, but there's been something that's just like, it's been bugging me for a while, and I feel that like with this show I can do something about it and
speak on it.
And yeah, well, and the reason why this show started was the same thing, you know. It's like I said, I didn't want to be the guy that's just bitching at a bar about, oh, this is wrong and that's wrong and they should do this or that. Uh-huh. And that was part of what this show was, to do something more proactive, to be, because originally it was like I didn't like the what people thought about Salinas, you know. They had this thought of it, and I mean, I don't know if it's changed very much, but instead of bitching and moaning, saying this is a cool town with a lot of cool people I've met, I've given those people a platform and let them express
themselves. And for sure it's changed. I think we can see it in the makeup of like our neighborhood now.
Well, the city, I wonder if the perception has, because
I think with some people it just won't, you know what I mean? Just because they've decided in their minds that that's, you know, Salinas is what it is, and you're not going to be able to change that. But I think... there were a lot of people on the fence, and Salinas Underground has done a tremendous job in helping to bring people to this side, so to speak.
And it's a trip. Within the last couple of months, not on this show, but we do a lot of shows here out of the studio. One of the shows had to reschedule. I mean, it's not one of the shows on the network. We record shows on the network, and then other people use the studio that are not part of the network, that, you know, just because it's a good studio space, so I let them use that.
Hit up Salabites Media, anybody in need.
yeah, we have, it's a cool space here. And one of those shows, their guest was from the peninsula. When they said they recorded in Salinas, they were basically like, yeah, fuck Salinas. These are people that not that long before that were at like a council meeting in a local city, saying like one of these like, oh, Black Lives Matter kind of thing, you know, like we're allies, support the cause.
Intersectionality, y'all.
But when it comes to like, yeah, like, oh, yeah, that's lip service. That looks cool. You did that in front of a news camera and all that. Like, yeah, you got what you wanted. You looked awesome and you looked like you're helping and all that. But when push comes to shove, like, you don't even want to come to the nice part of our town. Like,
yeah. Liberals in America, we can have a whole fucking conversation about that. But that's not what this is about.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I'm like, how the hell did it even get there? Anyway.
I'm sorry. I helped with that. I'll take accountability.
Anyway, so I want to do a more, not journal. I keep saying journalistic, but it's not. Like, really, it's really more gossip than anything, because I'm not doing very much research. Eventually, as this matures, I definitely would love to get people involved in these, you know, events or things to talk about them, or to go out there and do the research myself. But at the moment, it's just, I want to talk about other things that are going on in this city that are not. Again, unfortunately, we really don't have a functioning newspaper anymore in this town. The Herald is the Monterey Herald, you know, they cover, and they're having their own issues as well. And as much as I hate to admit it, the Californian is, I don't even know if they have a local journalist. I know they print it out of Visalia or whatever, and it's 3 days a week. And if you go on, you know, if you look at the website or whatever, it's just all... like reposted articles, you know, it's very, very little. Every once in a while, it seems like, yeah, like once a, you got to go once, a, you know, they tell some journalists, you got to make sure that once a month you go to Salinas and write a Salinas story from there. And that's super sad. And I'm not trying to call anybody out. Well, except for the billionaire companies that are buying these companies up and doing this. So yeah, fuck Gannett, fuck iHeartRadio,
all
fuck
that Clear Channel, not all, the Associated Press, the, like not actual journalistic people.
Yeah. And the journalists that are doing the work that are working for these companies, fuck yeah, dude, you're doing what you can with what you got. And I love that you're there. You know, you could very easily be like, oh, I don't, you know, it's lost and I'm not going to get into it. And you know, and it'll just get worse. But you know, you're out there, you're trying to do something. So I really admire the work that is being done by the local people,
especially in an industry like this that is suffering so much. I mean, look at everything that happened with the LA Times recently as well, and them letting go of like hundreds of Latino journalists.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's been happening in newsrooms all over the place, and all of a sudden, yeah, the marketing department is not as separate from the newsroom as it used to be. And it's all become different with this 24-hour news cycle that started like in the late 80s, early 90s, you know? And so everything keeps changing, but, and I hate to use a cliche in somebody else's motto, but you know, the Washington Post has their thing, the democracy dies in darkness. And to me, that is super important. There are a lot of things happening, a lot of decisions being made on the local level that are being made, not even behind closed doors. They're being made publicly, but because they're at 3 p.m. on a Wednesday or a Tuesday or something, a lot of us can't be there. Or because there's no newspaper telling us, like, hey, this is what happened. This is what people voted on, or this is what's going to get voted on. You don't really know. And all of a sudden, you're like, why the hell is there a streetlight here? This is weird, you know?
And the other thing, too, is that, I mean, we do have the accessibility of like going back and watching the city council meetings like on YouTube. They do put them on YouTube or whatever, but by the time that gets uploaded, like everything has already been decided upon. You know what I mean? Like,
and to be real, I would love that citizens would take 3 hours of their week to find time. Again, there are 3-hour podcasts and people seem to listen to those, but the reality is it's not going to happen. A lot of those meetings fucking boring.
This is coming from
both of us have sat through
those fucking city council meetings for various reasons and various causes.
The transfer station that was on the east side right there on Market, it got moved out or whatever. And I was at the city council meeting when the trash people came and did their presentation of, you know, okay, if we don't move it out, this is what can happen, and this is what we're paying around. It was the most boring one of, and the presentation was cool. They had cool graphics. The people knew obviously what they were doing. It just, what they were talking about was just boring, but it was so important. There was literally a mini dump on the east side.
Yeah.
And that's not, you can't have it. It's
the environmental useful impacts.
Yeah. Cause it's super useful if you're trying to get rid of a bunch of trash, like, fuck, it's right in town like that. But also at the same time, like you're saying, the environmental impact, what that's doing, what kind of pollution it's releasing, not only to the air and to the ground. Like, it was a big deal.
But also it's very important for us to have, you know, to know what's happening with our trash as well, and to have a place, because they did a lot there in terms of like, you know, recycling and like teaching people about composting and worms and bins and all of that type of jazz too.
Yeah. So. And that presentation, again, I'm like, I can't, as important as it was for the city, dude, and realistically, the average person is not going to sit there. They're going to fast forward through it. And you could tell the people doing the presentation were like, come on, you got to stick with us. Like, this is important and we have to say this. And so I get it. It's tough. And that's why I think the journalist is important, is that they get there and they digest the information and then put it out in a form that's more easily understandable or quicker, you know,
the Cliff's notes, if you will.
Yeah. And it allows people to then, if they really, you know, it's something that really speaks to them, then they can get themselves in there. So anyway, that's what I'm thinking. I'm just sitting there and like, dude, all these decisions are being made, or these almost decisions are being made that really, really impact our lives. And are we really like really discussing it? I know and it's tough because politics has gotten so tribal.
Yes.
It's so and I don't want this to be like, well, liberals want that, so I don't want it, or conservatives that want that, so I don't want it. Like, that's not, fuck that. That's not, doesn't help society, doesn't help our country, doesn't help our city, doesn't help us as people continue to try to, you know, work to a better place. Anyway, I say all this romantic bullshit because I'm like, the way I feel I can help is again, I do have a bit of journalistic background. So that's why I say that, because I do, when I do this kind of stuff, I do take it seriously. A lot of it is kind of gossip and like, oh, these permits were applied for and I think this is what's going to happen or whatever. But I really do come across with a realization of how heavy this is. You know, yeah. I don't want to just
the effect like, and the impact that it has on our community.
Right? Yeah. And just like, oh, well, Oz said this. So he, and I think, you know, I like his show, so he must be right. And I'm like, no, I don't want it to be. I just want you to know what's going on. And then you can make the decision for yourself, how you feel. I've said it before. It would be super awesome if everybody in the world thought like me. Like, life would be so damn easy.
For you.
Yeah, it'd be so cool because everyone would just do, like, yeah, hell yeah, look at this. Look how efficient this world is being ran.
Accordingly.
But then it'd be so damn boring. It'd be so boring, you know? So, like, so I understand that, yeah, I'm not doing this to be like, look, I've got it all figured out. All you got to do is listen to me and then parrot me and then Salinas will prosper. Fuck no. I don't know. I don't have the answers. This shit's hard. Like, people go to college for this and stuff and can't figure it out. So,
I mean, I don't.
But I just want people to talk about it and know about it and see what's going on and see that you have the ability to change this. And like,
and I think the first step is to like want to know what's happening and to actually go out and consume that information and to know what is happening. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that's the very first thing. You have to know that the vote is going to happen in order to show up and give your public comment or whatever it is. So this is a great episode.
Yeah. But with that. Yeah. Again, I can feel people listening that are like, all right, dude.
Get to
it. All right. cool intro, bro. But usually they stick to like 2 or 3 minutes, not 12. But anyway, so yeah. So I'm going to try to sprinkle these episodes in, you know, maybe once a month or, you know, whenever, just to break up the monotony of just trying to bring guests in all the time. Because I do also do the history ones as well. Those are, it's tougher to research. Those take a while. You know, these are a lot easier. So yeah, I'm thinking since the Permit Center releases their report once a month, I'll try to do these once a month. But anyway, let's go into, so yeah, so that's what these episodes are going to be. They're going to be interesting city council agenda items that, again, catch my eye, interesting permits that have been applied for, things that are just happening, going on in the towns, you know, and, yeah. And like I said, I don't know, if I've researched it, I'll tell you. If I haven't, just know that most of this, either I am doing whatever little, you know, or just talking about, you know, whatever little journalism there is, I'm using those as sources mainly. So a lot of this, yeah, is just things that I found on the city website or tweets from other people. But so yeah, so let's get into that.
The internet.
And yeah, and we'll talk about how, yeah, a little interesting thing about, yeah, how that, you can find a lot of information. So, but yeah, let's get into this. The first thing I have here on my notes for this first sub independent episode is interesting permits. Like I said, I like going to the Permit Center, releases reports every month of people that have applied for permits. And it's cool because you could get to see like the future, you know, cause you don't just, you know, a taco shop doesn't just find a place and just open up from one day to the next. You know, there's permits that need to be had and all this, and that takes months. So you can see months before what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. And so that's why I think the permits are cool. Are interesting, and most of them are just people that are like redoing their kitchen or something, you know? Mm-hmm. And they're super boring, and it's just dozens and dozens of pages of people putting a new water heater or solar panels or something. But in there, every once in a while, you find some really interesting ones. Well, like recently, and at this point, it's old news, but the Kaiser,
yes,
you know, they're saying, oh, Kaiser Permanente's thinking of coming into Salinas, and I immediately went to the permit center website and I saw, dude, it was like a $16 million permit they pulled. It was, they're doing a lot of construction in,
and it gives an address, right?
Yeah, it was on Davis. It was the old Babies R Us, because it says, you know, the owner of the building that they leased it from is still Toys R Us Corporation.
Okay.
And so I was like, oh, okay, so that's the old Babies R Us. And then it tells you that's basically how they, one of the ways they figure out how to charge you for a permit, you know, because if you're like, okay, I want to pull a permit to do construction and I'm going to do $500,000 worth of construction. And then the city does a math problem and says, okay, well, your permit then for that is $2,500 or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know the numbers, but yeah.
Someone's listening like, no, you're way off.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, the permit center's right across the street. They're like pulling their hair out.
Yeah.
But anyway, so a $16 million permit is a big permit. Usually, yeah. Again, a water heater or something, you're talking about $1,200, $1,500. Mm-hmm. Even a new, again, taqueria, maybe $75,000, you know, because you're going to remodel it. This was $16 million in a building that's already there. Like, yeah. Okay, if you're building it, okay, that does get expensive. Again, the Taylor headquarters was $40 million because they built that from scratch. But so, like, to pull a permit on an already built building that's $16 million, I'm like, dude, this is... They're not just going to put like a couple like check-in offices or whatever. Like there's going to be like MRI machines and shit in there. Like $16 million is quite the renovation. So anyway, when people were speculating, oh, is this going to happen? Is this going to happen? It's like, well, they've already pulled a $16 million permit. So probably, and yeah. It's probably going to be here on the address that they pulled the permit from. So anyway, those are some of the interesting things that you can see. And yeah, and of course, three weeks or so after that, then the news finally, and again, the news, it's not that they're not doing their job, they're the news, you know, they have to be sure that they're right, so they're not just going to speculate. So yeah, anyway, about 3 weeks later, they're like, oh, Kaiser's coming into town.
I knew that.
Yeah. But hey, so there are some more recent ones. So this one is cool. I really like this. So this is a permit was applied for a restaurant called Sourdough & Co.
Okay.
And Sourdough & Co. is a soup and sandwich shop that has places like all over the Bay Area. It's nice. Super cool. This is like as far south as they're going so far. It's going into the Safeway Shopping Center on Constitution.
Okay.
So I don't know if it's... There's a couple like spots because, you know, the Starbucks has been there forever. And, you know, the Panda and all that. There's some Chase that have been Bank. There. Yeah, they've been there for. But some, there's a couple pads in there that are just like always revolving. Like they just can't. It's a juice bar at one point, and then yeah, and then it's like a sushi place, and then it's like a taco place, and like they just can't. And I think this is one of them. I think this is like the used to be a juice place, because like.
And we're not talking about BKM, y'all.
No,
BKM's there.
Yeah, cool. And that's another.
We're
yeah,
talking
that's
about the there. One that's on that same side as like Chase and Mountain Mike's and Panda Express, right?
Yeah.
Like on that L shape there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
So, again, I'm not entirely sure. Again, that's where I'm speculating, but somewhere within that shopping center.
Yeah.
There's going to be a place, Sourdough & Co. Yeah, it looks cool. You know, it's like a Bay Area Panera kind of thing, you know?
Yeah.
But it. And
I mean, that is cool. It's another option, and it's a healthy option. It's better than fucking.
Well, and that McDonald's shopping center is like a low-key little foodie destination, because they have the Village restaurant, mm-hmm. which is like quietly just pumping out amazing food.
Oh, yeah. On the other side by the Wingstop.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And the Wingstop opened up, which again, Wingstop's now like, it wasn't like a local place, but it was like a regional place, and Salinas was... That was one of the first ones, like,
yeah.
I remember it was like 2006, 2007, because I just graduated high school, and I was like, aw, all the kids would go there. We never had a place. Yeah, we never had a place to go, but then they all did that, and I was like 20.
That's because you went to Alvarez. If you would have gone to Salinas High, there was all the places.
Yeah,
the
everything was right across the street. Yeah. And yeah, we didn't have, at that point, we didn't have anything. But yeah, so, and that's still around. And again, and there's the Avatar.
Yes.
Indian, like, so like that shopping center.
They have good vegan options.
Yeah. That shopping center pulls a lot of weight, and it's just kind of quietly there in the middle of everything.
I feel like that's one of the only, like, it's like a little pocket of like mom and pop spot. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. It does have the kind of anchors, I guess, if you will, of the...
Yeah, the pandas. The panda, and the Starbucks
exactly.
And stuff,
yeah. Yeah, that. But in North Salinas, all the mom and pop places, I feel, are kind of scattered across the north side. Whereas, mm-hmm. like, in South Salinas, they're a little bit more kind of near each other, I guess you could say. So, yeah.
Yeah, so again, if you're into sandwiches and soup, if you want a grilled cheese with a tomato bisque, sourdough and co. I don't know if they're open yet, but it looks like, you know, they should be. And another one, this one was interesting, and this was right. You heard it here first, folks. You heard it here first. Recently they were talking about the old what to do with the old Sears place, and like, oh yeah. They might redevelop it and put apartments and all that, which would be amazing. We need more housing. But one thing that is definitely going into there is a place called Gohan Buffet.
Okay.
Gohan Buffet is like an upscale sushi and hibachi place. Well, if it's the, so I did my research, you know, I did my internet sleuthing, and there's a Gohan Buffet in Tracy.
Okay.
So if this Gohan Buffet in Tracy is indeed the one that's similar one that's opening up here in Salinas, which I think because of the size, it's 21,000 square feet, wow. Not all of Sears, but a nice little chunk of the first floor. And yeah, and it looks, you know, I mean, it's Tracy, so, you know, upscale Tracy is a little
a different, yeah. definition, yeah. than upscale Monterey.
Maybe. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but again, that it looks nice. It looks like what they did in Tracy, and if this is
like
indeed
a cool little
what
family
it is,
spot,
exactly.
Right? Okay.
Especially, you know, again on the north side, like we were just saying, you know, and that they are kind of spread out. And another complaint I have, it's a lot of change, man. You got Chili's, you got B-dubs, you got
BJ's.
It's not Fridays. BJ's, you know, Applebee's, and whatever.
What's
dude.
The Italian one?
Olive Garden, Red Lobster. You got all that and nothing, whatever. They exist. People want to go there. But I think it's also you need a healthy mix of local stuff. Again, this is from Tracy. They're not local, but this isn't another Panda Express
and
that's
again,
going into
shareholders
there.
In New York or
exactly
some out of state place.
Yeah, yeah, and again, so it is another place that you can take your family. Again, the hibachi thing, everybody likes that, you know.
Yeah.
And it really does start invigorating that. That I think that does look sad having that the end of the mall. They're just kind of be dead.
Yeah, Big Five, man, holding it down there for the longest time.
And that's where Raising Cane's is going, too.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Raising Cane's is going to be right there, right on the corner next to Big Five. So I think, yeah, that's really going to activate it. Yeah, they're finally going to be like, finally, we get a break. We've been here forever. And, oh, this is interesting, actually, because I have an update on this. So anyway, yeah, that's Gohan Buffet going into the old Sears building. Or part of the old Sears building.
Hibachi and Japanese on
yeah,
the way.
Yeah, sushi and hibachi. Sushi? Fucking, the Mexican. It's Mexican just comes out. And this one, so this one was my third permit here that I thought was interesting. And I had it on my notes is 221 Main Street, mm-hmm. which is the old Golden Fish restaurant, if anybody knows. Right across the street from Bearded Bean, right next door to Farmers Union, right by that little alley mm-hmm. by Aqua Blue. Yeah, so they pulled a permit on there, and I just saw, if you look, they put this nice wood paneling or whatever, and there's a sign now on the wall. Oh, damn, what did it? Tell my story. I didn't take a picture of it. What was it called? Glass House. The Glass House.
Yes.
So all of a sudden, yeah, where the old Golden Fish was, it's cool. It's all black now, which black, oh, fancy. You know, it's going to be fancy because it's all black. But and then the sign says, exactly. Yeah. The sign says Glass House, and it looks like a tulip. Are they? I don't know if they're tulip. People can make, you don't know your fucking beer glasses for? But it's the little stout tulip ones, because I think the tulip ones are more thinner.
Like a fluted one? Is that what you mean?
Yeah. No, because that's like a champagne.
Yeah.
Like the little, it's got like a little pancita.
Oh.
It's short with a pancita.
It's like
when you get a 12-ounce kind of glasses. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, that kind. So it's like one of those kind of glasses with the mountains inside.
Gotcha.
So it's a dope logo. It's a, I felt, because immediately I was like.
And it's just shadowed, right? Like it's just outlined.
Yeah.
Okay, I remember now.
Yeah. So it's, and it's cool because it looks like.
Minimalist.
Yeah, very. Well, and what I love is it looks like beer swishing. Like it's the mountains, but it also gives the illusion of beer in the glass, and it's called Glass House. And so I was like, just the look of this, it looks, I'm feeling Bay Area.
Gotcha.
I feel like, oh man, why do I feel that there's one of these like in Santana Row or close to, you know, and then.
Yeah, some swanky place in the Mission.
Yeah. It just looks like that. So anyway, I do what I do. Yeah, I do my search, and it actually turns out. And whatever, I won't even say his name, but it's a, and I don't know, again, I don't know, but if you Google the name, the LLC, the permit shows up, and there's a name, a owner's name that pulled the permit, and when you Google that owner, he's an architect from Salinas, and oh, dude, he seems like such a cool. First of all, his picture is like, he looks like an old Spanish painter or something, you know? Like, it's like a black and white picture, and he's got this big mustache. He seems like an older Mexican dude.
Yeah.
And if you go on his website, one of his projects is he's trying to redo the county jail, the old county jail that it's like one of my dreams that a cultural center come out of that.
Ooh.
So I'm like,
especially considering the park that is going into like Laurel and,
Dude, and that's definitely in my note.
What's that?
That's literally my next thing. Well, the Closter Park.
Yeah. But no, what's the other one that Big Sur Land Trust owns?
Oh yeah. Car Lake.
Car Lake.
It's got a name now.
Yeah.
I don't, it's called Blackberries and Olone. Yeah. So anyway, this guy, I think his name is like Salvador. Like even that, I'm like, damn, bro. So he's, and again, if it's indeed this dude, because it, I don't know, it's just a name that pops up that was attached to a permit. A lot of, dude, if it's like Jose Lopez, come on, you know, right. And so you're gonna, there's a lot of them. But anyway, that's what I'm loving. It looks like it's this dude who's an architect. Probably, you know, makes sense in that. Oh, you put the wood paneling, like you changed the look of the building. It looks more modern. With just very simple stuff. The logo itself looks very professionally, very well done. And so I'm like, oh, dude, this is a logo person. How cool. Again, this is what I want.
Mm-hmm.
As much as, like, even if it was a Bay Area place, like, oh, cool, you know, it's the Bay Area at least, you know, it's not a national chain, but it's still like, man, y'all are just coming in here because you see the opportunity.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I'd much rather the money go for someone here. So, yeah. So if it is indeed this person, it does look like it's somebody from Salinas that really cares. I mean, for one of your projects to be to rehabilitate the old county jail, like, you really have to care about this area.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
I love that. And as like a business owner in Old Town, I, like you're saying, I love that, you know, it's someone that's local that is investing into their city and their neighborhood, right?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. That's so, so important for the growth and the overall economy of our city. I'm a big proprietor, and I've said it on 831 Comadres, and I think I've said it on your show as well. Like, you know, in terms of like how we spend our dollars, like that's the best way to vote on a daily basis. You know what I'm saying? So it's like going and supporting locally owned businesses that's like the most impactful you can be in terms of wanting to make a difference in your city. So I'm all for local people, like, yeah, getting it in and around Salinas. Let's go.
Dude, and I get whatever. I don't, well, that's what I mean about the picture.
Oh, God damn.
Dude, and that's another thing. And whatever, I'm sorry, dude. I'm gonna put your out there. If this is not you, I'm sorry. But
hey,
his name is Salvador Munoz.
Okay.
Like,
and even if it's not, anyone that needs an architect, hit up the homie.
Yeah, dude. He's working to save where Cesar Chavez was incarcerated. He's a charter member of the Salinas Historical Review Board and president of the Historical Heritage Association. And member of the Preservation of Colonial Monuments, Mexico. Alisal Center for the Fine Arts. Who the fuck? What the fuck? In addition, Sal is a singer and actor with Teatro Campesino.
Okay. There we go.
Will you adopt me?
You are the father I've always wanted.
Yeah.
You know what? When you, right now, when you read that the county jail where Cesar Chavez was incarcerated, you're over here in Old Town. In my mind, I was by Natividad Hospital. Like, I was at the county jail.
The old one. But he's talking
about the original jail. My bad. That's why I brought up Carr Lake. I'm sorry,
y'all.
Holy
crap. No way. Dude, so somebody that obviously cares about the historical, and he's an architect, you know?
Yeah, importance.
Whoa. Okay. Okay.
New watering hole.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I think that there's still plenty, but if I'm Farmers Union, I'm like, damn, bro, you have to be right next door. But that's what I like.
But you know what? There's room enough for everybody.
Exactly. There's still so much stuff.
Really is.
And I know they didn't mean to do it this way, but Farmers Union's been there enough that it's got its own vibe. It's people know what's up. You know, like, sure, they're going to, they'll check it out. They'll check out the new stuff. As sure they check out all the other, you know, they probably go get sushi at Kokoro or wherever. But that's their place, and they always go back there. And it's just how I feel like about XL. Yeah. I patronize all the businesses here in Old Town, but at the end of the day, I just kind of end up. That's where I just
XL's your spot.
Yeah, and everyone has that, and that's where I think again it's cool that Farmers Union, it's been there enough that it has its problem. I think it's probably going to be for the better. Because it's just going to, I mean, it's looking nice. And then you see what, you know, how nice, what 301 got redid, or Alvarado on Main.
Yes.
FYI, if you're cool, you call it 301. And then also.
All right, I'll start doing that then, because I didn't know that. So thanks for the hot tip.
Alvarado on Main, like, oh, tourist. Tourist in our midst. and then Heirloom. I think Heirloom did a good job nice. And then the outside, they maintained the integrity. They just repainted it and all that. And so I think.
I wonder if it's going to be more like spirits and as opposed to like craft beer.
It says beer and wine. So beer and I don't wine. Think okay. they have a liquor license.
Okay.
And it definitely says food.
Nice.
So, and that's where, again, with Farmers Union, at least for them being right next door, because they don't offer the food, I think it's beneficial in that people can, like, oh, I like the beer here, and I'm just going to order food from next door, and I'm sure they'll bring it over. Whatever, I'm not trying to tell them to do the beer. Either way, the fact that it's not a straight-up another craft beer bar, you know, it's a restaurant thing. It's
like
thing.
A little bit of a cross between, like, in my mind, like Altura and, you know what I mean? And like a craft beer place.
That's but I can't, dope. You can't take your family to Farmers Union, you know, just like you could. Well, if you have someone under 21, just like XL, you know, so that's where I'm like, well, that's
why it's dope to have the La Cantinas. And
exactly.
The, you know, Alturas, and then now hopefully the Glass House and, you know, the Bearded Bean and all those types of spots.
It's so cool. It's welcoming all these different types. And that's what I'm liking about this continued evolution of Old Town. It's inviting a lot of different people.
Yeah. And like legit, like as a mom, that makes a really big difference about what you can and cannot do on a weekend or even just a weeknight. You know what I mean? To say, oh, we're going to go out to dinner. Let's invite some friends or whatever. Having all of those different options, like, you know, at least for me, it makes me not have as much FOMO.
Right. Yeah. And again, it just continues to make Old Town a destination.
For sure.
And I keep saying that, you know, it is beautiful what they did, but it is still pretty slow neighborhood a lot of the time. And I've said it before, like, how would you spend 6 hours in Old Town, and having these places just adds to it, especially now if you're a beer drinker, you know, if you're like, hey, we'll start at XL, which is obviously great, great craft beer bar. They have great selection. And you got La Cantina, you know, making their own stuff, doing what they do. And again, then Farmers Union, and then this Glass House, and then 301, what's up? And, and these are just craft beer. If yeah. you just want to just regular beer or cocktails or whatever, there's other places in between. We didn't even mention the yeah. Dubbers or the Portobello's or the whatever's else that is there if you want to get a food or a drink. And it's just like,
and shout out Biesteca. They do really dope seasonal like cocktails. And
yeah, if you want to really elevate. Yeah, that's a whole different ball game. Like they're doing something so unique.
And actually, quick little segue, like that's like elevated Mexican food, you know what I mean, here in Salinas. But if you haven't yet, check out their sister spa in Carmel called Nicolás, because that's like on a whole nother level.
Yeah,
because
over there you could just.
Yeah, they have a $300 tomahawk steak on their regular menu. It's not even like a specialty thing. Yeah. It's just like on deck. You know what I mean? To kind of, and you know, they have other things that are more in the $40 or $50, $60 range too. You know, not everything's $100, but I mean, it is special. It really, yeah. really is. It was such an enjoyable experience for me to dine there. Yeah,
that's where, again, and they can, that's where people in Carmel can once a week go and get $300 tomahawk steak. It's Salinas, yeah. it's gonna struggle to find yeah. that people. But
I went for a special occasion.
But I love that again. But we have a Villasteca, and that is yeah. such a great. But yeah, exactly. And this is just 2-3 blocks, and then I'm gonna talk about. Well, actually, you know what? Actually, yeah, I'm gonna switch up my notes here, because I was going to talk about this later for some reason. But another thing that I saw, speaking of historic resources and historic board, the El Rey Theater on the 300 block, right by the Bank of America and all that. When you're coming down South Main and you make that right at Bank of America, it's the theater that you're looking at right there. They just repainted it black and white, so it's mm-hmm. pretty visible. And it's been sitting there for a long, long time. And it looks like somebody's going to do something with it finally. Nice. Because on March 4th, So this week at the March 4th Historic Resource Board meeting, yeah, we have a Historic Resource Board, everybody. Somebody applied to make the El Rey Theater a historic resource for the city of Salinas. Basically, like, again, a historical monument for us, for mm-hmm. our city. And then on top of that, there was another permit filed with the planning department to, quote unquote, reestablish the commercial recreation use of the theater building.
Okay.
So, again, somebody, not only do they want to designate that property as historic to the city of Salinas, but they also want to reestablish the commercial, you know, again, they want to open it for business. Yeah. Literally what it says in legalese.
And all that good stuff, right?
Yeah, whatever. Yeah, but it's going to be a theater. They're doing very, very little renovation to the, it's a palace. It's got a fucking fountain.
Yeah.
It's got a fountain in the lobby.
Fox is nice. This is.
Yeah. Yeah. I did see that the seats were taken out. So they're, whatever seats are going to be in there are not. But for the most part, this is pretty intact. And a little history of the El Rey Theater. It was actually built in 1935 as the Crystal Theater. And in the style called Art Moderne. Okay. And if you've heard me talk about Art Moderne, because 301 Main mm-hmm. is an Art Moderne building. Also the old heirloom or the old Beverly Fabrics, current heirloom pizza is in Art Moderne. It's actually kind of rare to have so many of, you know, business or buildings in this style in one area. It's pretty neat. It's another kind of little weird factoid about Salinas.
And it's neat that they survived as well, because so many things are getting torn down to stucco fucking facade, you know?
And again, a lot of cities in the 60s and 70s in the name of revitalization did destroy a lot of their downtowns. And these buildings were built in the 30s, this Art Moderne style. Like, the Rocketeer or whatever? Is that what the movie's called? I'm trying to just like people that might be like, what does this style look like? But it's like whenever you see those old trains that are like rounded, you know, and they just look or like the old, like old cars, you know, like they look fancy. The freaking like Cruella de Vil type car. You see the big round and they're big, you know.
Lanchas, we call them.
Yeah. And well, that they usually, it's trying to evoke like cruise liners because that was the big fancy thing of the day. So
they're supposed to be luxurious and, you know, the ride and all that.
Yeah. Well, and again, and if you look at the El Rey Theater, you'll notice that there's a fin in the middle of it. And again, it kind of evokes a feeling of a boat, you know, like a sail going through. And if you read, apparently it's designed that way because it's like the marquee is below it. Mm-hmm. So you look at the marquee, but then the fin makes you follow, your eyes follow it up, and you're seeing the progress of Salinas. It's evoking you following the sight line of the theater is making you look up because Salinas is looking up, because in the depression, Salinas was actually prospering where a lot of the country was struggling. Mm-hmm. So again, this was built in 1935. I want to say in the middle of the depression, but
Let me Google
28 to 38, I think. I think that's what it was. Just for sake of a neat story, like, right in the middle of the depression,
RDF.
So it was interesting, you know. It's neat that this history is still there, the architecture is there, what it means. And so anyway, it looks like somebody's rehabbing it. And again, if I were to guess, I just think that whoever's doing it is doing it just to sell it. Either they know someone that would probably buy it once it's remodeled, or they realize, dude, this neighborhood, if I fix this up, this is just gonna sell like hotcakes, kind of thing. And I think that's part of the reason why they're trying to establish it as a historical resource, because
the value goes up.
The property value definitely goes up because it's a historical building. But then again, it also, like, whoever buys it, it's harder for you to make changes to it because it is a historical thing.
Correct, yes.
But it's a theater. Theaters are popular. And but also, I think there's also a tax break. Okay. It might have expired by now. I don't know if the council redid it, but you also do get a bit of a tax discount from the city for rehabbing a cultural building.
Shifting gears a little bit, do you know what the capacity is in there? Is it bigger than the Fox or comparable in size?
Pretty similar size. Yeah. I don't want to say a number, but
the reason I ask is because, you know, getting back to, again, how can we entice people to come and visit Salinas and spend 6 hours here? I mean, if you were having two headlining shows on the same block, you know what I mean? And if it's a comparable size in terms of what the capacity is, you could essentially have two.
And they don't even have to compete. Shows. You know, you had, what was it, Javier Solis last night? Was it Javier Solis?
No.
Shout out to
Javier Solis is like an old school Mexican singer.
As I was saying I was just like
I think he
Javier Rojas, maybe Javier Rojas.
That was the last
Javier
name.
Rojas. Yeah. So yeah, Javier Rojas was here.
Something like
that. A million
that.
Instagram followers. Again, that dude's somebody. I saw the line. But then you can have a
comedian.
A comedian anything else. I mean, getting two Mexican regionals, you're kind of very competing, but there's enough people in Salinas that if you have a Mexican regional artist, that them there's still plenty of other people that want to listen to other stuff. So having two theaters between 500 and 800 capacity, you know, within a block of each other, is still doable. And all of a sudden, going back to the how do you spend a whole day or 6 hours even in Old Town, well, now you're adding to it. Now again, you go and you have lunch at 301 or at the Glass House, and then you get a nice cocktail at Altura. And then if you want to chill out or go to the bookstore, go to the museum for an hour or two, kind of chill. wait
for the shopping at the Salinas Antique Mall.
Exactly. Yeah, that's where.
Hija Mujer, what's up?
Yeah, exactly. Walk off the food and the drinks. You know, yeah. And there's a bunch of cool shops.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then 7-8 o'clock comes, and then the shows. You know, the doors open at the shows, and then you go to the show, and all of a sudden, holy crap! Now you had, we did spend 10 hours in Old Town, and anyway, yeah. So that we'll see, we'll see how that goes. And this is one thing here that I thought was so interesting that it's kind of a sidetrack, and I mean, I kind of just did it with Salvador as well. This is kind of like an interesting thing of like the amount of information you have about you on the internet.
Ooh, be careful.
And again, doing city stuff, like I said, it is kind of sometimes interesting where you're like, dude, if I remodel my bathroom, like my name and address gets put out there publicly. And it's just like, yeah, that's kind of that's democracy, you know, like that's part of the transparency of our society. You know, that's just to make sure that everything's on the up and up.
Could you do it where like the construction company could pull the permit for you?
Yeah, that's usually how it goes.
But they always list the address in which it's being done at. So
because the permit is for the
correct. So if your name is associated to that address, then it'd be easy for someone to find you online, mm-hmm. essentially.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Or again, maybe 8 years ago, you did an interview. And they said, oh, on San Miguel Street, I interviewed this person. And then you're like, oh, you're attached. You pulled it to 317 San Miguel Street, So,
yeah.
So check this out. This is how, and I'm sorry again, Mr. Mayor, I'm about to kind of explain. And I'm not. This dude is pretty public. And this is why I do it. This is what is so interesting to me.
About the internet.
So again, the Salinas Historic Resources Board, part of their approval process is you had to submit blueprints because he's going to change some stuff. You know, he's going to be like, this is how it's going to look basically when I'm done fixing it. Very, very little changes he's going to do. He seems to be very, wanting to. Well, and plus, again, if you want it to be approved as a historic thing, you really can't change a lot to it. Anyway, these blueprints have a name, Kurt Mayer with a Pacific Grove address. Some of the other permits refer to a company called KPM Property. So I was like, who is this person? Is this some kind of millionaire from the Bay Area or something, just trying to take advantage of us? So, of course, I went to the old Google machine. And so I Google Kurt Mayer. What comes up is a 2017 article from The Weekly in which this gentleman by the name of Kurt Mayer was interviewed. And this guy in 2017, if y'all remember, we had a lot of rains and Big Sur was basically an island. It was isolated. And this guy owned the Big Sur Deli. And part of what he would do every day is he would hike over a mile with newspapers on his back to keep delivering newspapers to the people of Big Sur. Yeah. So, he had the Herald, the New York Times, possibly the California, depending on what day of the week it was. So
I love that I catch this shit.
So so it was a neat article about like, oh, look at this, this
good
this
spunky
little dude. That owns the deli. But so the article mentioned several things about him. Not only that, so he owned the Big Sur Deli and he lived in Pacific Grove.
And a very specific vehicle.
Right? Yeah, and he had he would drive his gray Toyota Tacoma truck as far as he could and then hike the rest of the way. So I was like, all right, so
cool.
Neat. So I wonder with this Kurt. So, now the Kurt Mayer and Pacific Grove are tied together. So the blueprints have Kurt Mayer with a Pacific Grove address. This Weekly article talked about this person named Kurt Mayer with a Pacific that live in Pacific Grove. So also in one of the permits was a company called KPM Property out of Pacific Grove. If you just Google KPM Property, there's a lot of property management companies that use the initials KPM.
Yeah.
So then I put KPM Property Pacific Grove. Well, what popped up was an address for KPM Property along with a second business attached to this address, which was the Big Sur Deli.
So now we know.
I'm like, sure, okay, yeah, I'm pretty sure this is Kurt Mayer.
Breadcrumbs are leading.
Yeah. So then I just hit Google, you know, maps on the address. I'm thinking it's just a lawyer's office because usually LLCs, you know, just some lawyer does it, and you know, it's a lawyer's office, has 1,000 different businesses out of it. But this Google map takes me to a house in a residential area in Pacific Grove that has a gray Toyota Tacoma parked right out front. So all of a sudden, I'm like, oh, the guy that is remodeling the El Rey Theater, I'm looking at his front door. I could walk up to his house and be like, hey, dude, what's up? How's the deli going? You know, like.
And he's like, who the fuck are you?
Yeah. So, yeah, within 15 minutes, I'm able to see that this guy owned the Big Sur Deli. He hiked in newspapers, and I know his house. He really likes Toyotas because he has that small Toyota Tacoma, and then he has like a Toyota Tundra there, and then he's got like a...
Toyotas are great vehicles. I've loved them ever since Steve Young did the commercial for them back in the day.
Yeah, they're very...
San Francisco one. But also, folks, word of caution. This is exactly why people say, internet, do your thing. When people wild out and there's a video of them wilding out and they put it on the internet, this is how easy it is for people to find you.
Yeah.
So
yeah, and this wasn't a malicious thing. No. I am wishing Kurt well, you know, and
yeah,
all that.
Yeah, yeah. No,
but imagine
totally
if someone
know.
Really wanted to.
Exactly. That's what
this
I'm
was 15
saying.
Minutes. Give me 4 hours.
Right. Like now we have an address. Like if you, it's so easy to just put things together in the age of information.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying there was no, there's any malice attached to, you know, the research that you did, right? But what I'm saying is a word of caution for people out there that want to create malice. This is how easy it is for people to find you. Don't think that you could just like, there are consequences, motherfuckers.
Yeah, and when it comes,
I guess that's what I'm getting at.
Yeah, well, again, especially with the internet, when it comes to privacy and security, people are like, oh, well, I'm not a criminal. I don't care. I don't. And it's like, it's not really about that. You know, it's not about you.
No, it's not.
It's privacy is important.
Yeah.
And privacy from the government is
safety and security.
Is very important. Yeah, exactly. And I get it. Yes, you're not trying to derrumbar the fucking government, you know? And so you probably don't have to worry about that. But it's like, what information is being stored about you? What profile is being created about you? And how can it be used in the future?
Yeah.
Is it going to be used to help you? And I don't know, maybe they're collecting all this and you get accused of a crime and the government's like, oh, whoa, hold on, look at, nah, he didn't do it, we got all this, you know, like, he's cool. They're not gonna do that.
No,
it's only gonna be used to prosecute you and it's only gonna be used against you.
Oh yeah, for sure.
It's only gonna be used against you. And I'm not trying to get into this conspiracy theory or whatever, but the government does not give a shit about you when it comes down to shit like that. They're not gonna look out for you.
No, and, their function is to protect property and asset, and yeah, not. Yeah,
so anyway, it's impossible to, you know, you can't go to Google and say, hey, I mean, you could probably tell them to blur your house. You could probably request that, but.
Can you though? Because I remember like several years back where there was a person that, and they were like petitioning to Google and they had to go viral because there was like Google images that showed their deceased child. Like their child was deceased and they got found like in the woods somewhere, or you know what I mean? It was some location or whatever, right? But Google Images had kind of put up photos of that and it showed pictures of this parent's deceased child. And they weren't like a small, like a minor child, you know what I mean? It was, you know, they were of age, right? But still, like,
yeah, I mean, I'm sure there, but there's a pro, again, I'm sure there's a pro, it's probably not the best, you know. Yeah. It's a giant company, but even with that, you know, even with those kind of abilities to say, hey, can you don't track me nowadays, you know, every time you go to a website, do you consent to the cookies or whatever? Doesn't even matter, cookies are going away anyway, they're just tracking you in a different way. Damn, I feel like I'm just getting into crazy conspiracies.
Sorry, I do this.
And, but anyway, yeah, that's just one of the things. Just to be careful. Again, you can't do anything about it, one of those things. And then I'm not saying, oh, be afraid, you know, like it's going to happen.
Be aware.
But yeah, exactly. Just understand.
Don't be afraid. Be aware.
Just understand that, yeah, that all this stuff.
It's happening.
It's real thing. And the chances that one day you waking up and you get thrown in the back of a van and the FBI says, we're going to frame you for this murder is very, very, very low. But
depending on who you ask.
No, I mean, kidding. Yeah, it's very, but more than likely, again, somebody can hire like a PI.
Yeah.
To really pry into your life and you can be given a lot of information. And there are things, again, when you talk about like, you know, like, child custody things or mm-hmm. things like that. There are, you know, things that can be hurting your cause in the future inadvertently.
Yep. Sorry, I got you into the woods. I am
not back a lawyer, but that's just what I think. No, well, that's basically, I did have, one more note, but I'll leave this for the next episode because I think this might go for a while as well. We're already 55 minutes in. And plus, this is the first one. It was a little scattered because I'm honestly, it's a little nerve-wracking because I've been doing this show 10 years now and politics has changed so dramatically in those 10 years. We had a black guy as president when I started this show.
And I mean, let's like not go so far. The landscape of Salinas has changed dramatically in the last 10 years in terms of like who was holding city council votes. Again, whether there's journalism in our city or not, you know what I mean?
Like, yeah. It's, well, again, part of the concern was that people would, again, this whole point of this show is promoting Salinas and I wanted to be as welcoming to everybody as possible. And like I've said, yeah, if you talk to me personally, I have very strong political opinions for a variety of things, but I don't want those opinions to be the opinions of the show. Yeah. Like they are my personal opinions and I'm okay with it. And I don't mind sharing them on the show. If people have questions or whatever, I don't care. You know, I'm not afraid of what I believe in, but I don't want to guide you, you know, to be like, oh, life's hard. Just do this or do that. Like, no, I want to give you the information and then you still have to decide. That's on you.
Yeah.
That's your choice. And I don't want to decide for you. But yeah, but it was tricky in that, well, like the one that I, you know, I'm not talking right about because we can go for a while is the city's looking for a new police chief. And then they're, you know, they're still struggling with staffing and all that. And
the wording they use.
And so it's just like, and that one, like I want it, it deserves it. It's proper time. And that's a very sensitive one. Cause I know people can, if you're critical of a certain people, it's like, oh, you're anti-police, you know? And it's like, well, it's not necessarily that, you know? And so, yeah. So anyway, and that's why I was a little nervous of doing this type of episode because I want to ask the questions that I feel need to be asked. But I don't want people to think because I'm asking those questions that those are my personal beliefs and that I think that I'm right and everyone should believe that way. And then everyone's like, oh, Oz is fucking cop hater that thinks he's the smartest person ever. And it's like, no, it's just we need to question the people that are in power all the time.
On both sides.
Yes. That's constantly. Just, again, that is just democracy. That's America. That is patriotic as hell.
Yep.
They used to freaking like tar and feather the fucking tax man. Like this shit was fucking government. It was always being questioned. So anyway, thanks for whoever listened to this and I apologize if it was a little clunky. I do have a very good amount of notes, but it's just I want to make sure it's right. And I don't want to piss anybody off. I know I'm going to piss people off. I don't care about that. That's just going to happen.
People mad.
But I want this to come across as a way of like, even if you disagree with it, listen to me. And just as I would listen to you, Jesus. Leviticus 13:27.
Is that real?
Okay. Well, Jesus would say that shit. Jesus would always like that dude didn't care. That fool was like, whatever. I hang out with lepers. Like, and so yeah. So anyway, I'll sprinkle these in again. Maybe once a month if I have a lot of guests lined up. Maybe once every 6 or 7 weeks. But these are things that I think these conversations need to be had, because for sure. So often it's just like, liberals or conservatives and I hate everything and this and that and they're water's turning the frogs gay. Okay. And that's not healthy. That's not healthy for us. Somebody benefits from having the working people fight against each other, and it's not the fucking working people. So we got to figure out something. We got to figure out a way how to communicate with each other and stop having 80-year-old white men running the shit.
Damn. If y'all took nothing from today's episode, please hear that last part.
I don't know why. The race, I don't care. Even an 80-year-old black dude is still like, I don't know. You're 80, bro. But that's, no, that wouldn't even fit, because an 80-year-old black dude would have he'd lived through so much stuff that he would think so different, you know? Well, I don't know. Clarence Thomas is probably an 80-year-old black dude that's fucking, don't get it.
It just, it's the system. But again, we can go on for days and days and days about it. Yeah. I think this is a dope episode, honestly. I think that, again, this is like those types of, you know, tidbits of information that are important to know the happenings of what's going on in and around our city. And, you know, this is a good way to kind of ingest some of that information in an entertaining way. At least we think we're fucking entertaining.
Well, if anything, it at least keeps the consistency going.
That's for sure.
But yeah, anyway, thank you guys for listening. Thank you, Samantha, for coming in again. It always helps to have a co-host, especially with something like this, because I would have just gone for like 5 hours of like, oh, so we're still on sourdough and co.
I enjoy it very much. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, go check out Sourdough and Co. Go Home Buffet and the Glass House when they open up. Oh man, we didn't even take up. There's all kinds. I skipped up. Well, because I went to the theater renovations. All right. Well, in this next one, we're going to talk about Closter Park improvements, Williams Road improvement, and we'll get into that search for a police chief and paying cops more money. That'll be a fun one.
Yeah. Invite me for that one, too.
Stay tuned for that. Yeah.
I got some ideas and opinions.
Yeah. All right. So we'll catch y'all later.
Peace.